The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm Larry O'Connor alongside Brian Wilson.
And joining us on the line right now is Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Yeah. You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Klein, and you should. You learn stuff. Hey, Rick, good morning to you.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
All right, so I don't want to get involved in deeply in a bunch of numbers, but it seems to me the numbers, the things are happening. Things are happening here and what it is and entirely clear. if you look at the four-way races and you put all four of the candidates before the people, the way it looks, according to a lot of polls, is it's getting really tight. Fox News has it in a four-way race. It's Clinton plus one. CBS News has it as a tie. Rasmussen has it as Trump plus two. LA Times, which is seems to be an outlier in this, but they've always been really relatively favorable to Trump. They have it at plus six Trump. But you look at other things. Hill says that the Clinton lead is evaporating in battleground states. Says there are polls that say that Trump is leading in Florida and Ohio, and that Colorado and Virginia are now competitive. And in Michigan, where Republicans have not won since 1988, it is now only a 3-point lead for Clinton. So you look at all of that in toto, and what it seems to me is that you have some sort of a trend. What's driving the trend?
There's no question, and people on both sides will acknowledge the race has tightened significantly just in the last couple of weeks. Now, there's a lot of factors there. I think, you know, there was probably a sugar high for Clinton after the conventions. The convention bounced, plus Trump had those rough couple of weeks when he was fighting with the family of fallen service members. But after that, she went dark. And, of course, the health scare over the weekend where a lot of these polls were out in the field. So I think things are much tighter than they were, but probably closer to where they were always going to be, if that makes sense. I don't think this was ever going to be a 10, 12, 14-point race. I think we're always talking about low single digits. And I think that's where we stand right now with Clinton with a very narrow but measurable and yet definitely overcomable lead.
How much of it has to do with the health thing?
I think that's a piece of it. I mean, I think the health thing to me hit two big storylines. One is just physical fitness to serve, and questioning that, of course, is not good when you're trying to undermine the other person's fitness to serve. But I think more broadly, it underscores the concerns about Clinton's secrecy, accountability, transparency, all of the things that have dogged the Clintons with good right for the last three decades in public life all came together in the way that it was handled and the way the pictures emerged on 9/11. It just seemed to feed the worst suspicions of Hillary Clinton, and something they still haven't fully answered.
Rick Klein, I've seen you and I've read your stuff, and it's true. You have been saying ever since this latest surge by Hillary in the polls after the convention, you've been saying this is going to be a tight race all the way up to the wire. I got to ask you, why? I mean, look at Hillary Clinton. I mean, she has been in public life for close to 30 years now. She is incredibly qualified, according to all the people who are touting her. She's more funded than any candidate before her. And she's running against a guy whose entire experience comes from the business world and being a reality television star, and makes every gaffe that any insider in the Beltway thinks should be a campaign ender. Why is this so close?
Well, two points. One is, I think you just made a compelling point or a compelling argument for Jeb Bush to win the primaries based on insider experience and name recognition and being in the public eye and in big positions.
Touche, Rick Klein.
The outsider.
Yes.
Yeah, well, this is the year of the outsider. And I think those credentials that have typically helped the candidate probably hurt. Another factor is that these are two of the most disliked human beings to ever seek the presidency by any objective polling measure. They are extremely polarizing, so it's hard for either one of them to pull away. And then the third thing is, and this is no surprise, we're a divided country. You know, there's a solid 40% that no matter who the candidate is going to be, is going to vote against one side or against the other side, that you really can't move that. So you have to realize we're working inside small margins. And then, you know, you just factor in the fact that you have these candidates that are as polarizing as they are.
So a quick follow-up on that, because it's always sort of been conventional wisdom here in the Beltway that when push comes to shove and it's crunch time, you get Bill Clinton out there in some of those swing states and you get Barack Obama out there in some of those swing states. And we saw him this week in Philadelphia, which I think is an interesting choice. Why put him there? And they're going to be the difference maker because they're such charismatic, popular politicians. But based on the narrative you just painted, the year of the outsider, year of change, and having same old isn't actually good. Could it be that that won't end up helping Hillary Clinton?
And there's a funny catch that if Bill Clinton or Barack Obama go in campaign, they don't actually get to be president again, even if you vote for him. You're still stuck with Hillary if you're the Democratic voter. So, I think there's places that they can be effective. And I think, as you mentioned, Philadelphia, the urban core of the Democratic base of Pennsylvania, that's a great place to plop Obama for a while. And I could see him hitting Florida and North Carolina, similarly parts of Ohio. Of course, we know Bill Clinton's popularity, even if he's maybe lost a little bit of a political step and he looks a little older than he was in the past. You could see him driving up turnout in certain areas. I can see them both being deployed as tactical weapons, but neither one of them can you say is the closer, and that you're gonna suddenly turn around the election because they're out and about a lot in battlegrounds.
I want to explore the African American vote with you for a moment because anecdotally, I kept hearing this story from people who were on the front lines for Hillary in urban centers around the country, coming back and reporting that there was no enthusiasm in the African American community to go out and vote for Hillary. And then I notice that they send Barack Obama to Philadelphia to have a big speech in which he was making the case to the African-American community. How seriously are they worried about that, the Democrats?
Oh, I think turnout among African-American voters is critical for them. And it's not I don't think anyone really thinks that Trump is going to make serious inroads and suddenly win, 25-30%. He thinks 95% of black voters. That's not going to happen. The bigger issue is just staying home and apathy in this race. And that's why you see Obama out there, not just making the case for Hillary, but making the case so aggressively for Trump, tying his own legacy to the election to succeed him. I think he needs to build up the stakes for his old coalition, which includes black voters, includes Hispanic voters, includes highly educated white voters. So I think if you can stitch those pieces together, obviously it worked last time and it worked the time before that. But that's what you need to do, and I think that's what the concern is, that people are just not going to be engaged in this election because they don't see a candidate that they feel like speaks to them the same way Obama did.
And one other thing about the Hillary health thing. I mean, they've made a case that it was not a big deal. It was a one-off, even though there's a lot of evidence this has happened at least two other times where she sort of fades or passes out. Would you agree that if there's another incident, it's pretty much over for that campaign?
I just was watching the video yesterday and realizing the way that we're all going to be watching video differently now. When she's just walking up the aisle of an airplane,
yes,
and you look to see, does she need to reach out for support? Does she stumble at all? And I feel like every piece of video featuring Hillary Clinton for the next 50-something days is going to feature that. You know, God forbid she stumbles or, spills a glass of water on herself at some place or something happens at the debate. People are going to be on a knife's edge over her health and her vitality.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think has Democrats more worried than anything else because, you know what, I tripped coming out of the cab this morning. And if someone had been filming that, they could have questioned my physical vitality. Things happen. And now they're going to take on an increased meaning over the course of this.
It's so funny, Rick. I did the exact same thing when I saw that of her walking up the aisle of the plane. Rick Klein, always good to have it. By the way, y'all should know, Rick Klein participates in a podcast with ESPN. It's called Capital Games. He does it with Andy Katz, and it's really good listening. And you should check that out as well. You're a multitasker there, Rick Klein.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. I appreciate being on.
Thanks so much, Rick.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.